Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Cyrus Sauce is here with a simple reminder that we've rebranded this channel to a new name, Golden Days, bringing you daily content covering the Golden State Warriors and the NBA. In addition to Golden Days, you'll still find new episodes of the Rick Barry Show dropping here, in addition to my boy Brandon Cadiz's excellent Warriors program, Strength in Numbers, which is coming up next. Follow me on Threads and Instagram at DogWild, and follow Brandon on Twitter at HighBrandFlakes to keep up on the program. Here's Brandon Cadiz with Strength in Numbers.
Once again, the Bays team is the best team, the Golden State Warriors.
All season long, Strength in Numbers.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Strength in Numbers. I'm your host, Brandon Cadiz. The Paul George rumors are continuing to heat up, with multiple sources linking PG-13 to come to Golden State and the Warriors ready to offer him the max extension. Earlier in the week, Alex Caruso, Mikal Bridges, Josh Giddey, all on new teams. We'll take a look at those trades and how that impacts the Golden State Warriors in free agency. Also recording this episode a couple of hours before day two of the NBA draft. The Warriors have the 52nd overall pick. I'll give you three players that the Warriors should look at for that second round pick. All of that in this week's episode of Strength in Numbers. Before I jump into this week's topics, a little housekeeping here. Make sure to follow our podcast network, Golden Days, on all social media platforms. This specific podcast, you can stay up to date with Strength in Numbers by following me, your host, Brandon Cadiz, on Twitter and on Instagram at HighBrandFlakes. I'll give you my latest Golden State Warriors takes whenever they come up on the timeline, some trade partners, some players the Warriors should be looking at. All of that I'll be tweeting in real time, and as well as make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Cyrus has put out amazing content on his Golden Days YouTube channel. He had Larry Kruger on yesterday. Earlier in the week, he had Eric Pincus, salary cap extraordinaire and expert, break down the Warriors salary cap, mid-level exceptions, biannual exceptions, what the Warriors can do if they guarantee Chris Paul's contract. All of that you can revisit, of course, on wherever you listen to podcasts. But if you want to watch the live feed, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's Golden Days Warriors. If you can't find Golden Days by just searching it, put Warriors right after it in the search tab, and it should be the first YouTube channel that pops right up, Golden Days. Now, make sure you tune in tomorrow on Friday, the 28th. I will be on that channel with Cyrus Sauce's Golden Days at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'll be breaking down the 52nd overall pick that the Warriors select just in a couple of hours, and we'll get into that later on in the show. But let's transition out of that, all that housekeeping info, all that social media promotional stuff here that I had to get out, and let's jump into Paul George. Earlier in the week, Brian Windhorst on ESPN's The Hoop Collective said that, "I'm not sure Paul George really wanted to leave the West Coast. I think that was something Philadelphia kind of ran into when they kicked the tires there," Windhorst said. And that just lets Golden State Warriors fans and teams on the West Coast know that Paul George, if he were to leave LA, his hometown where he wanted to go after Oklahoma City, that he, if he does leave, he wants to stay on the West Coast. Now, of course, I'll put the Lakers, the Warriors, the Trailblazers, and the Sacramento Kings, all West Coast teams, as potential destinations for Paul George. Paul George, though, wants that four-year max that he's looking for, and the Clippers have been very adamant on saying that they don't want to give him the max, they'd probably offer him a contract similar to what Kawhi Leonard got when he signed his extension with the Clippers, which is under the max. So Brian Windhorst also said on GetUp on Wednesday that the Warriors are willing to offer PG-13 the four-year max he's looking for. That's a four-year, $212.2 million max that could be on the books. And that's about $53 million per year for the Warriors. And here's what ESPN's Brian Windhorst continued to say on GetUp. 3 years at a little bit less than the max contract, and Paul George frankly wants 4 years. He wants a full-out max, and there are a number of teams out there, I am told, that are prepared to give it to him. Who are prepared to trade for him? One of those teams potentially is up the coast in Golden State. Now, Paul George has a $48.7 million player option with the Clippers, and that deadline comes on June 29th. Now, of course, we all know June 28th, tomorrow, the Warriors have until to guarantee Chris Paul's $30 million contract. We expect that deadline to get extended and pushed back just so the Warriors have more flexibility in free agency. Now, what would it take for Paul George to come to the Golden State Warriors? Well, first off, we would need the Warriors to guarantee that CP3 million-dollar contract, work him out in the trade package to the LA Clippers. And for Paul George, he needs to opt in to his contract for the Clippers to do a little sign and trade here. But all of this, a Paul George Golden State Warriors deal, will not happen until Sunday at the earliest, because that is when free agency starts on June 30th, I believe at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Currently right now, with Klay Thompson's contract, if it is still in the books, that's when he will officially become a free agent. In order to execute a sign and trade, the Warriors have to stay under the second apron. Technically, Klay Thompson's still in their books and in the contract, and the Warriors are way over that salary cap, and they are at the second apron and can't make a trade for Paul George until the 30th. Now, if the Warriors do let Klay Thompson walk, Chris Paul, I believe, will be, of course, the main staple here in a deal with the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, it's a matter of if the Clippers want to even trade Paul George or let him walk in free agency. Paul George can sign up to a four-year deal, that max deal with a new team. Now, all of this is great in hindsight, right? And Warriors fans may be asking, well, can't you just let Klay Thompson walk? And if Paul George does walk and become a free agent, can't the Warriors just sign him? And the answer to you there is simply not. The Warriors can't go over the cap to sign players that are not on their team. So for Klay Thompson, right, the Warriors, if they renounce Klay Thompson or if he's off of their books and he becomes a free agent, right, to stay under the normal salary cap, it's $141 million, right, to stay under that. Even if the Warriors did decide to let go of Klay Thompson and his contract, that'll put the Warriors at about $174 million with a $30 million guarantee there for Chris Paul. So already $3 million over the salary cap there. And even if you did renounce Chris Paul and you took on $144 million, that's the $3 million I'm talking about over the salary cap. You don't have room to sign Paul George. And even if you did, you just offer him the minimum contract. You don't have enough cap to do that. So that is why it is essential that Chris Paul gets his $30 million guaranteed and for Paul George to opt into the Clippers contract and for a sign and trade to happen. So $48 million for PG-13, $30 million there for Chris Paul. You need to fill in another about $18 million there on the Warriors side. That's where a GP2 and a Kevon Looney and a couple draft picks would be at the least option that the Warriors can do and try to get a trade package done with the LA Clippers. Now, why would the Clippers and Warriors execute a deal? Same division. They're running back and forth to try to compete for a spot up in the Western Conference and make the playoffs, right? Their rivals going way back when the Clippers took Baron Davis from them, Corey Maggette to the Warriors, all of that history, right? And the answer to you is the Clippers can't just let Paul George walk for nothing. If he walks in free agency, I mean, all those draft picks you gave up to Oklahoma City, and for Paul George, he has also the leverage to say, hey, if I do leave, you guys end up with nothing. This is better than just letting me walk. And whatever Golden State can offer, this benefits the Warriors in the sense that they can offer a package that might not have to net you Jonathan Kuminga in the deal. It might have to just include Andrew Wiggins and Chris Paul. And this is where the decision comes of, if you're the Golden State Warriors, is it worth letting go of a young player like Jonathan Kuminga? Or have you seen enough from Andrew Wiggins the past couple of seasons and his up and down play? And would you be fine sacrificing point of attack defender in the deal if that gives you more opportunity with Jonathan Kuminga? Now, if I'm the Warriors, and this is my opinion, I believe that you keep Jonathan Kuminga. He is a player that will shine, and you will have to eventually offer him that extension in a couple of months when the season starts. I think it's in October where that extension deadline for Kuminga arises, and I think you have to re-sign him there if you're going to keep him. So a lot of this comes into play for what the Warriors front office wants to do. Personally, I would love to keep Andrew Wiggins and have two very competent defenders there. Two-way Wiggs, we know what he brings. And Paul George, not a bad defender, not also a great defender, but he gives you that flexibility there. So a Steph Curry, Paul George, Jonathan Kuminga, Draymond Green, and a Trayce Jackson-Davis type of lineup really does sound intriguing to me. Now, Moses Moody could also be part of the deal here if you somehow don't want to include Jonathan Kuminga. There's a lot of options from the Warriors' contracts here. You guaranteed that Looney $8 million deal, and you also have the GP2 $9.1 million deal that he recently signed as movable trade pieces, and that's why the Chris Paul $30 million contract guarantee is also very important. A lot of deadlines here coming up, so we'll know about Chris Paul tomorrow, most likely at the earliest. We'll know on the 29th if PG-13 is going to be dealt, because he has to opt in for the Warriors to make a move, not necessarily for other teams to not pursue him. If he does elect free agency, a numerous amount of teams will go after Paul George. Now, some news too, that the Warriors are emotionally ready to move on from Klay Thompson. Zach Lowe on ESPN's Get Up also said that it sounds like they're emotionally prepared for the possibility. And I think there's some hurt feelings on both sides that need to be mended for this reunion to take place. If they bring in another high-priced player, it just becomes financially very difficult to keep this whole team together. They don't want to pay his gigantic tax bill for a team that struggles to make the playoffs. And Klay, everybody needs shooting. He can fit anywhere. It's just a matter of who has the money and the means to get him and give him what he wants. Now, the front runner now, still the Orlando Magic, the Golden State Warriors right behind him in the odds to re-sign or sign Klay Thompson to a free agent contract. Now, we've heard Joe Lacob earlier in the offseason and last year that with Tim Kawakami that the Warriors would ideally like to stay under the taxpayer bracket, but more likely under that first apron if they are a repeater tax and repeater tax team. And Lacob, you know, stated that they want to try to avoid those repeater tax penalties, but it's the matter of if that's going to be beneficial to the team. And just like what Zach Lowe said here at the end of his quote, it's more about a team that's struggling to even make the playoffs. Is it worth going over the tax bill and being a repeat offender if that nets you Paul George in a trade? Because in a sign and trade, if I'm not mistaken, from what I heard on that podcast with Eric Pincus, that the Warriors would be hard cap potentially in a sign and trade deal with the Clippers. I think if they take more than a more of a contract from Paul George rather than you matching it. And, you know, that's when the traded player exception can come into the play, the mid-level exception comes into the play, and the biannual. So if the Warriors stay under that second apron and between the taxpayer and the first option, they will have that full 12 or close to $13 million exception, mid-level exception, and of course the biannual, which is about $4.7 million to play around with. And in that podcast with Eric Pincus, the Warriors could also use that mid-level exception and convert it to a trade exception if needed in a deal. So a lot of financial flexibility for the Warriors if they can just stay under that first apron, and the repeated tax would still be affected and be in play, but you'll build a championship. You'll get that second option, that championship type of player that the Warriors really need to complement Stephen Curry. Now, personally, am I in the favor of letting Klay Thompson go? No, he's still a respected shooter, and everyone's just going to remember the 0-for-10 game and the last playoff series against the Lakers. The only way I see Klay Thompson coming back is for a deal way under $20 million. I think if Paul George is on the table, the Warriors have to make this move. And just as I said earlier, a lineup with Steph Curry, Paul George, Jonathan Kuminga, Draymond Green, and that fifth option being open if you want to go small and start a Brandon Pajemski if he is still on the team, or if you want to start Trayce Jackson-Davis. Now, I'll give you some draft options here in just a few minutes that the Warriors could essentially go big. They could go with a shooter, a 3-and-D type of situation. From the players that I gave you, I don't see a single guard being taken, as the Warriors want wing depth, flexibility on the defensive end, and they have way too many guards already. They got the backup point guard there, and Brandon Pajemski going to be the main man off of the bench for the Warriors when Steph Curry rests. Now, I want to go back to that point I made earlier, where it's going to be really important that Paul George is emphatic to the Clippers organization that I am leaving, and you'll have to take whatever the Warriors offer if you want to get even something remotely back. I don't think that the Clippers will be asking for a net return as big as what the Brooklyn Nets and the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks did earlier in the week. Of course, if you didn't hear, the Brooklyn Nets have traded Mikal Bridges to the Knicks for Bojan Bogdanovic, 4 unprotected first round picks, an unprotected first round pick from the Bucks, and an unprotected pick swap and a second rounder. A big net return for Mikal Bridges, and that's because he has a couple of years of team control left in that trade. So this upcoming season and then the following season, $23.3 million in the books for the Knicks this season and $24.9 next season. And of course, yesterday we heard that the Knicks also signed OG and Anunoby back to them. They weren't going to let him walk, and that's a perfect example there. After you trade picks and players, and especially picks, what Toronto did and what the Knicks did to get that trade for OG, they weren't just going to let him walk. You got to sign him on, and this gives the Knicks that flexibility to retain their second best player, most likely when he was healthy, in my opinion, for that Knicks run. So you pair the Villanova guys together, of course. This is what the trade people were all talking about. Mikal Bridges now, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo. I mean, you got a great lineup there for the Knicks, that versatility there. Mikal Bridges, pretty young guy, a great shooter, a great defender. I was hoping that the Warriors would have inquired about Mikal Bridges. Maybe they did and we didn't hear about it, because this net return, man, this is a lot for them. And Bogdanovic, of course, heads to the Nets, who are now rebuilding. And this is the point in the podcast where there are numerous teams here that could be selling. And when you take a look at the Nets, they've made it known that they are selling. And this could be a plan B option that the Warriors could pivot to if they do not land the big fish in Paul George. And maybe you do use the Chris Paul $30 million to swing you a couple of bench and bench role players and just fringe starters onto your roster. And A Dorian Finney-Smith, right, at $14.9 million sounds intriguing for next season. Nick Claxton, though, he re-signed with the Brooklyn Nets yesterday evening, a four-year, $100 million contract reported by Shams Charania with $96 million guaranteed. So Cameron Johnson, you know, he came over from the Phoenix Suns. I always liked his game when he was a member of the Suns. He's a type of guy that, you know, is a pretty solid three-point shooter, averages about 13 points per game, not a bad or not a great defender either, but he gives you that wing depth. He gives you that size. He's 6'8", 210 pounds, and, you know, if the Warriors do end up giving up a Andrew Wiggins in a deal with Chris Paul, we'll just take a look at the numbers here again. So for Andrew Wiggins, as I pull this number up, Wiggins is owed about $26.2 million for this upcoming season, $28 the following season, and he has a player option in the 27 season for $30 million. So that essentially gives the team that he gets traded to 3 years of Andrew Wiggins with 26, 28, and 30, upping by about $2 million next each year, and Chris Paul's $30 million. So if he were to get traded, the Warriors would have $54 million in salary there. If you take a look at the Nets, that also gives Cameron Johnson 23, 21, and 23 for the next 3 years. So 23 there. And if you try to ask for a De'Ron Sharp in that deal, that's them at about 27. And you throw in Dorian Finney-Smith, that's about $41 million there, 41 to about 53 or 54. Big contract difference there. I think, you know, you probably just do Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith there for about $37 million, and you throw in Kevon Looney and a draft pick, or Gary Payton II, Chris Paul, and someone else. Or Chris Paul's going to have to be a staple here. He's going to most likely get that $30 million guaranteed no matter what, because they're going to use that as a trade piece. So this is a piece, too, that does affect the Warriors. If they don't land Paul George, now they're stuck with a $30 million for Chris Paul, and they might have to eat up part of that salary to even make a trade. But with the Nets rebuilding, that could be an option there. Another team that I just thought up yesterday, because they decided to take a national champion center from UConn, and that is the Portland Trailblazers. They took Donovan Clingan, a solid proven center, a top 10 player, top 7 player in the draft last night. And a lot of people now asking, what happens to DeAndre Ayton? There's a lot of center depth there in Portland now with Clingan signing. I think I saw a tweet yesterday that he can sign up to a four-year, $31 million contract with the Trailblazers, being a top 10 pick. And, I mean, I'm a Blazer fan in the sense that they have a young core that is fun to watch, a Jeremy Grant and Anfernee Simons. They have Scoot Henderson, of course. We saw Tumani Kamara torch the Warriors, too, a couple of games last season. Jabari Walker was also very interesting. Moses Brown is a free agent, potential option there for the Warriors at the forward center position. But Jabari Walker, so they have DeAndre Ayton, Donovan Clingan, Time Lord Robert Williams, who was injured for most of last season, and when they play the small ball center, Duop Wraith and Jabari Walker could be options there for the Trailblazers. So it looks like Jeremy Grant there for next season, $29 million. That is intriguing. I did not essentially write him in. DeAndre Ayton making $34 million for next season. And for Robert Williams, $12 million next season. When you take a look at this roster, there's only two guys here at the age of 30 years old. And Malcolm Brogdon was one of them who got shipped off. Jeremy Grant at 30 years old as well. Now, if the Warriors want to try to trade for a Jeremy Grant and Robert Williams. That's at about $41 million. $30 million for Chris Paul. Throw in a contract of Looney and Gary Payton II. You got Jeremy Grant and the Time Lord. That could be a potential option there for the Warriors. So I'm taking a look at the Brooklyn Nets situation, the Portland Trailblazers situation, and trying to make a deal there. Both are plan B for me if the Warriors can't land Paul George for some reason, despite all the interest and the intrigue to sign him to that max extension. Now, we haven't talked about that aspect yet. Is it going to be worth paying a guy, right, that is 34 years old to a max extension? Now, similar to Klay Thompson in age, which player would you rather have? Klay Thompson would be a lot cheaper, but we've seen his decline the past couple of seasons. Paul George hasn't had to be asked to be a first player since a trade with the Oklahoma City Thunder, where he was still sort of that 1A, 1B type of player. Since the Indiana Pacers days and that devastating injury that Paul George had in that Olympic game qualifying game, Paul George has also had a series of injuries in his past. And Paul George is the type of player that can average 23 to 25 points per game if needed. And he, take a look at his numbers last season, 22.6 points, 5.2 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 1.5 steals per game. Overall for Paul George, he's a career 38% three-point shooter, which the Warriors desperately need. He makes about two and a half to three threes per game on about 7 attempts. So that gets the shooting there for the Warriors that they desperately need. And he's also gets steals. Klay Thompson's defense has definitely declined since that injury. So I'm all for the Paul George trade. I think it's time to move on for the Warriors and for Klay Thompson. Both need a fresh start. And if the Warriors want to compete, they got to be realistic. And unless Klay Thompson comes back on the bench role, it makes the most sense to get a second option for Steph Curry and not waste the final years of his prime to try to compete for that fifth championship. Brandon Cadiz here, adding this note as right after I recorded all the draft prospects that I wanted the Warriors to select, well, they traded the 52nd overall pick for tonight's draft to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Lindy Waters III. Now, hasn't played a lot of time with Oklahoma City, spent a lot of time with the recent champion, G League champions, the Oklahoma City Blue. Now, he was an undrafted free agent in the 2020 NBA draft. In 2021, with the Oklahoma City Blue, he averaged 8.3 points, 3.3 rebounds, 1.1 assists, 1.1 steals. Now, in February of the 2022 season with the Oklahoma City Thunder, he signed a two-way contract. It was converted to a multi-year standard contract on February 27th, 2023. Thunder re-signed Waters to a two-way contract after declining his option on August 18th of 2023. And in February 9th of 2024, signed a multi-year contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder. But not too much playing time here with OKC in the NBA last season with the Thunder. He did shoot 43% from the three-point line in 38 games played, 7.4 minutes, 47% overall shooting, 3.6 points per game. But this is where the Warriors make the trade as we take a look at his G League numbers from last season when with the champion Oklahoma City Blue. Played in 10 games, started all of them, 33 minutes, scored 21 points, 48% shooting from the field, 44% from beyond the arc, 95% from the free throw line, with 6.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 1.6 steals. They do name him as a 3-and-D type of guy, just from what I've gathered on Twitter and from Oklahoma City Thunder fans. So that is what the Warriors are getting from Lindy Waters III. What's coming up, you can still listen to my breakdown for the three prospects that I wanted the Warriors to select. But if you don't want to listen to that, then You can just skip all over that because as of now, the Warriors do not have a pick in this year's draft. Things can change in a couple of hours. Maybe they trade back in later into the second round and try to make a play for one of the players that I talked about. So that's all we have. 52nd overall pick. Warriors traded that to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Lindy Waters III. Now, I'm exhausted with all that Paul George talk, and I'm sure Dub Nation, you Warriors fans, have heard about all the rumors. So let's dive into something more interesting, more young, more fresh. The Warriors scheduled to be on the clock here in about 3.5 hours from when I've recorded this. This episode of Strength in Numbers. Now, the Warriors have the 52nd overall pick, 58 picks here in total, so they're in the bottom half of the second round here. Three options for the Golden State Warriors. Let's list out what the Warriors need. They need a big man, they need a shooter, they need spacing, and of course, they need wing help and athleticism and depth. Just a standard point there. A lot of issues there for the Golden State Warriors that played them the past couple of years have plagued them once again. But knowing that Kevon Looney is re-signed, we saw the emergence of Trayce Jackson-Davis there. That kind of gives the center and big position a little bit of flexibility. But they could look for that third center, and rumors, and we've talked about him in previous episodes, Brandon Carlson, the center out of Utah. He's a pick and pop type of guy, spaces the floor, and gives the Warriors some shooting. Now, last season with the Utah Utes, 17 points, 6.6 rebounds, 1.6 assists, and he has the ability to be a big man that can block shots away. 1.5 blocks is what he averages, as well as 50% field goaling, nearly 38% three-point shooting, and 71% at the free throw line in his final season with the Utes. Now, he's not super athletic overall, but he does possess the ability to shoot the ball from the outside, and not the best defender, a little bit slower, but he possesses the ability to make up for that with his block shot. So a defender might get past him on multiple occasions. Not a big first step on the defensive end there. And another issue for Carlson is he had 218 turnovers in his college career to only 170 assists. That 1.6 assists per game does give you a little bit of belief that he has some vision there when he's in the pick and roll and can dish it out to a player that's cutting like a GP2 and making that hockey assist pass to the second guy before they throw it out to Curry or Pajemski to hit a three-point shot. Now, Brandon Carlson, I'm talking about him first. He's not necessarily the first option that I would go with here in the draft, but he is the most intriguing as he gives you that big ability, but also has the ability to shoot the ball. And the guy that I am looking at, very, very intriguing prospect. He has experience here being near the Bay Area, up north, of course, Sacramento, Folsom type of area. Jalen Wells, and if you haven't heard of him, he is a 6'8", 205-pound forward who spent his last two seasons with the Washington State Cougars. And he has a very interesting story. Correct that, his 1 year with the Washington State Cougars. He came up from the Division II Sonoma State Seawolves, where he averaged 17.9 points, 7.4 rebounds, and 2.2 assists in his career at D2 ball on 47, 35, and 80 shooting splits before transferring over to Wazoo in Washington State for his junior year, where he exploded. 13 points nearly, 4.7 rebounds, 1.3 assists, and here he has shooting splits here. 43% from overall field goaling, 41% from beyond the arc, and 81% from the free throw line. The scouting report for him is he's a tremendous three-point shooter, one of the best long-distance shooters in this draft, probably second to a Shepherd there, Reed Shepherd, who got drafted We saw Dalton Kincaid, of course, go to the Los Angeles Lakers. And yeah, he's a Sacramento kid. Went up to school in Sonoma State before exploding in Washington State. And we've seen him explode for multiple 20-point performances during the run for Washington State in March Madness. We saw him put up a 20-plus point game versus the Arizona Wildcats. And he is a player that is intriguing because on his scouting report and from the tape that I've seen, he has the ability to drive to the rim, but also is a decent ball handler, and he takes those floaters and contested mid-range shots, but defenders have to respect him when he's putting his head down, stopping on a dime, and he nails the mid-range jumper very well. And he needs to take advantage of being a great free throw shooter, 81% clip there. You know, he has the ability to knock down free throws when he gets to the line. And it's just funny to me that we're talking about Klay Thompson. And Jalen Wells also went to school in Washington State, as I've mentioned. And the scouting report on him, and just looking back at it, looking at the Klay Thompson scouting report, a lot of similarities here and where they're both great shooters. They need to attack the basket more. Great free throw shooters. And as a defender, they played a lot of zone in Washington State. So from the limited amount of clips and from reading multiple blog sites, it says that Wells uses his big body frame, his chest to try to stay in front of defenders man-to-man. And he relies a lot on using his hands more rather than his feet. But he is athletic. And this is where the 3-and-D type of player shows up. He has that wingspan that'll help you on the defensive end. And I think he needs to use more of that talent and his footwork to be successful at the NBA level. But shooting at a 40% clip and just the story that he's improved, being from a Division II school, going to Washington State and continuing to explode in two tournament games, his moxie and his ability to be great at every level that he's moved up in gives you confidence that the Warriors can take this type of player, especially when they need a dynamic three-point shooter. Now, is he going to fall to the 52nd overall pick is the best question here. And I think the Warriors would have to move up, buy a pick to get him. He's projected to go into the mid-second round as of now. So if he does fall just because of the lack of experience, I think the Warriors should go up and grab him. Now, one thing to note here is a tweet by Jason Dumas in the Bay Area here, a local sports reporter for Kron 4, that the Warriors did bring him out for a workout. And wherever he did work out, I know Cleveland, the Cavaliers, they brought him in and he had a great workout there. Whatever team he worked out with, he was great. They were impressed by his shooting, so that's why, even though his game is one-dimensional, only 1 year in college, it's proven to NBA teams that everyone needs shooting, and this is a kid that they can take the gamble on. So if the Warriors want him, they most likely will have to move up. The second guy I want to talk about, and I think he will fall to the 52nd overall pick, and the most likely pick for the Golden State Warriors here is the 6'7 to 6'9, depending on whatever site you look at, forward out of Baylor and in Jalen Bridges. Looking at his tape too, a great looking 3-point shot. He knocked it down at 34% of his career attempts come from the 3-point line, and he shot 35% rate or better. That's the type of key that's going to be important for him to succeed at the NBA level. Now, last season with Baylor, 12.2 points, 5.7 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 1.1 steals. 46% overall shooting, 41% from beyond the arc, and 82% at the free throw line. He's a type of player that doesn't need the ball in his hands, and he's a great relocator type of guy. When he comes off of screens, he definitely fits the Warriors' system. He reminds me a lot of Moses Moody, where he doesn't need the ball in his hands, but when he needs to create, he can also do that and create his own shot. He scores, 44% of his points come up on spot-up shooting. Ball movement, off-ball kind of guy, really want to reiterate that. And You know, he has the ability to score at the rim, scores at the rim at 60% of the time. So off ball movements, whether he's shooting in transition on the fast break from the 3-point line, whether he's, you know, relocating and, you know, they get a set play for him in the corners to make the 3-point shot. He's a type of player that can do that, and he really fits the Warriors system here. And he's a player in Baylor, where he has been there for a 4-year type of guy. He's older, and the Warriors, you know, want NBA ready guys that have played multiple years, that they know that they can contribute right away. That was evident in last year's draft. We saw the Warriors take Brandon Podziemski. We saw them take Trayce Jackson-Davis, NBA ready type of players, and I think that's what the Warriors will do with the 52nd overall pick. Now, just looking at some NBA comps here, I want to go back to Jalen Wells. I think he's a type of player that can look at a Trey Murphy type of situation where he can be an excellent 3-point shooter. I would say he could be a better defender than a Trey Murphy as well. We have yet to see that. Again, Wazoo played a lot of zone, so man-to-man a question here in the NBA, but I think he has the talent to do so. And just the guy that I talked about in Jalen Bridges, his comp on, you know, a site says that Kessler Edwards type of guy at the small forward, you know, 3-and-D type of players where the Warriors have thrived before. Moses Moody seeing a lot less playing time. What does really impress me, though, with making this overall pick, a lot better defender than Jalen Wells. And for Bridges, he's a guy that can guard 1-4, the scouting report says, more so 1-3 and smaller fours. So, you know, using his size and his ability and his athleticism, I think this is a pick that makes the most sense for the Warriors. Some other players that have been rumored to go to the Warriors, I want to just touch on very briefly. He's also has some Bay Area ties, and it's Keshawn Johnson of the Arizona Wildcats. Came over from San Diego State, helped them in that tournament run 2 years ago where San Diego State made the finals in the March Madness tournament, and he transferred over last season to a top team in the Arizona Wildcats, as they are every single year. And he was one of the most athletic players in this year's draft class. He is, you know, his shooting could be a little bit in question. His up and down, inconsistent type of 3-point shooting, but defensively, he gives you that option to use his athleticism, right? He's a type of guy that the Warriors can gamble on. Not saying he's the same type of player that Jonathan Kuminga was, but he's aggressive. He's a hustle type of player on defense, can block shots. And, you know, a lot of his intangibles and a lot of his, you know, athleticism is something that you see from 7-footers and big men. They do list him on the NBA Draft Net site as a power forward / center. So, you know, a little bit of Draymond there, maybe. I'm not saying that, but 42-inch max vertical. A lot of similarities to him and in comping him to Brandon Clark, the draft site says. And he's projected at a mid-second round pick. So, once again, the Warriors have the opportunity to take him. I did really like Jaden Ladie a couple of offseason episodes ago. I said also from San Diego State, a former teammate of Keshawn Johnson, and he's most likely to go undrafted. He's another type of guy that has a small forward, power forward type of frame, 6'9", 255. I do expect the Warriors, if he is an undrafted free agent, to bring him on to the summer league roster. That is not any insider information that I am reporting. It's just a thought of mine. They really liked him. They liked Keshawn Johnson. And like I said, these Bay Area type of ties, you know, with Jalen Wells, I really want the Warriors to select him. So in a couple of hours, we'll see what the Golden State Warriors do. I do also want to say that for Keshawn Johnson, his NBA comp on NBA DraftNet site also said Juan Toscano-Anderson. I think that's because also a lot of that Oakland background there is where that draft comp comes out of. And Usman Garuba we saw and we've seen, you know, people say on Twitter that, hey, he can be that mini type of Draymond. We remember Juan Toscano-Anderson and the impact he brought onto the court. So if the Warriors select Keyshawn Johnson, expect the Juan Toscano-Anderson type of player for the Warriors to help with that depth at the wing position. That is all the time we have for this week's episode of Strength in Numbers. We talked Paul George. We talked options with the Nets and with the Trailblazers that the Warriors can make a trade with. And we gave you three names to look at for tonight's second round pick for the Warriors at 52nd overall of the total 58 draft picks in this year's 2024 NBA draft. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Strength in Numbers. Again, go to our YouTube channel in Golden Days tomorrow, Friday, the 28th at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time as I will join Cyrus Sautz's host of Golden Days podcast, host of this network. Great content overall, Larry Kruger yesterday. I will be breaking down whoever the Warriors select tonight at the 52nd overall pick. We appreciate the support as always. Our podcast page, our podcast network continuing to grow. And I guarantee you, we give you the most unique Golden State Warriors content every single week. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Strength in Numbers once again. I'm your host, Brandon Cadiz. It's always been a pleasure. And as always, go Dubs.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.